Hey, squirrel friends. Hope everyone's great today. I know it's scary times. I hope everyone's been self-isolating, staying at home, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so if you've been on Netflix, I'm sure you've watched that whole Tiger King, Joe Exotic thing, but maybe something you didn't catch was that they've released yet more Carmen Sandiego stuff on Netflix. And did you know that almost exactly a year ago, well, not really, this was more around March, but we covered Carmen Sandiego. And if you haven't listened to that episode, we're going to re-release it for you today. Something more fun and laid back than what the news has to offer. So enjoy this episode and wash your hands and stay original.
You should start off with a geography question.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. What kind of geography question? I'm not good at geography. I learned nothing from Carmen Sandiego.
You didn't learn about that fruit that smelled horrible but tastes so delicious?
I knew about the Dorian fruit already, though.
Okay. Where is it, Dorian fruit?
From Jakarta. Right?
I feel like there's a lot of questions being asked here. And, you know, the major question to ask is, where is Carmen Sandiego? And we could probably just edit this as the opening.
That's being confused. Well, that's right, guys. This week we're talking about the one and only Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
So this is Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality.
Now let's go chat. Watching all of these episodes of Carmen Sandiego, that we would have gotten that trivia question right.
No, I'm pretty sure I got it right. I'm pretty sure it's Jakarta.
It is?
I'm okay. 90. Hang on.
Yeah, anytime there's like a trivia question about geography, I always blank, and I swear I'm good at it.
Yeah, I guess we didn't watch enough Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, we really didn't, right? Because this show is just like really on the geography kick, which is great.
The Big Durian, yeah.
Oh, hey. I was right. Thanks, Carmen.
So, yeah, I want to preface this, I knew about the Dorian fruit, the durian. I just didn't know that Jakarta was known as the Big Durian.
Oh.
Like, you know, the Big Apple in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Because apples grow in New York.
Yeah, she actually said that.
She did say that, yes. This is
same example.
Okay, all right. Well, all right. Thank you. All right. So, yeah, we're talking about Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, we are. But first, you know, we just want to mention that today we are joined again by Eddie Z.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. You can call me The Player. For this episode.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's a good idea, Eddie.
Okay.
All right. So the player. Player. Just player. He's not the player. He's just player.
Yeah, he is just player. Player. Yeah.
Nicole, usually you do history, but are you going to do history today? Or well, am I going to fill a lot of gaps?
I could give a general history of the year 1985.
Go ahead. Let's go.
1985, Ronald Reagan is president. The prolific Live Aid concert happened where Queen, Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney, Madonna, all these people performed. And the big movie in 1985 that won the Oscar that year was Out of Africa, which apparently we all were. So also in 1985, though, a computer game was invented that came up with a really prolific woman globetrotting character. Mm-hmm. I think in the style of like Indiana Jones, personally.
Mm-hmm.
At least her name, Indiana Sandiego.
Speaking, do you know who the name was inspired by?
Carmen was from Carmen Miranda.
Yeah, the Brazilian singer, I guess?
Yes, actress, singer.
Okay, yeah.
In the golden age of Hollywood.
Look at that.
If you know, when women have bananas over their heads and it's kind of like a South American thing?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's her. And she goes, chicka-boom, chicka-boom, chicka-boom.
Yeah, the name was very, very exotic, so that's why it was picked.
Halloween costume, Carmen Miranda. That's a great
Carmen
one.
Miranda San Diego. Yeah.
Ooh, a mixture of the two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just...
Yeah, in that red outfit just being like, boom, chicka-boom, chicka-boom. Yes.
Mashup.
Mm-hmm,
love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. It was the 1985 is when the game came out, but it was in development for a couple of years. Broderbund hired an ex-Disney animator who had worked on Sleeping Beauty and a couple of software engineers to work on this. And the original name for the game was actually that they were working on was World Quest. So the goal of the game was to try to solve crime using deductive reasoning and like puzzle solving.
Okay.
At the time, the owner of Broderbund, or the president, I guess, he was like a globetrotter himself. So he kind of wanted to be kind of geography based.
Mm-hmm.
So That's how they kind of came up with the name World Quest. And, you know, you kind of needed a storyline, you needed some villains, and that's where this guy, David Sitkin, had come in. And one of them that he had created was Carmen Sandiego. And the producers of the game kind of realized, oh, you know what? This character, Carmen Sandiego, with the red fedora and the red overcoat, they decided, it was like, this is going to be the star. And it worked. And, you know, if you think about it, in the 1980s, a lot of video game characters were very male-centric.
Yeah.
So this is one of the first female-centrics to give female players an icon of their own.
Mm.
Unfortunately, she was a bad guy, though. Stealing, like...
Anti-hero.
No, she wasn't an anti-hero, though. Not in the games.
But everyone loves Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, you can love Carmen Sandiego, but she was a bad guy. You were the good guys.
But anti-hero, though, is still, like, the person that is doing bad things, but you're still rooting for. To me, that is what is the definition of an anti-hero. Which
you're
is
not
why
supposed
I
to be rooting
that.
For Carmen Sandiego.
Why not?
Because she's stealing.
Well, I guess as a woman, I root for her because it's like, damn, baby, go all across the world and never get caught and like tease these fools.
So were
I
you
love it.
Were you rooting for Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, hell yeah, I was.
Oh, so you're just bad at the game.
I rooted for her to get away too because every time she got away, I got to play again.
That's true. Well, she will always get away, even if you catch her.
Yeah, she always gets away.
Yeah, she always gets away. There's always like a cool animated sequence. Like, she gets on like a helicopter or something.
Yes. I don't think anyone away. Ever sit there and be like, damn you, Carmen Sandiego.
Me.
Really?
I always wanted to catch her. Like, I never did. I was also not very good at those games. Those games were, from what I remember, hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't play those iteration games. I played the later ones.
Oh, okay.
90s,
gotcha. Gotcha.
Which were fantastic.
Right. So, interesting things. So, Broderbund had developed this game, and mm-hmm. they wanted it to just be an actual game. They didn't think it was going to be like an educational game. However, because of its focus on geography,
yeah.
a lot of teachers were buying it and incorporating it in their classroom.
Smart.
And Broderbund decided, you know what? We're going to capitalize on this, and it became an educational game.
Oh, fantastic.
And there were a lot of spinoffs. There was actually a version, apparently, called Where in North Dakota is Carmen Sandiego.
There were so many. They did Where in Time, Where in Space is Carmen Sandiego.
Where in Space.
They like sometimes they really centralized it. I think Where in like in the Americas like,
yeah.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of them. And I think it was a really great idea, you know, because geography is really important. And I think geography has slowly been losing its importance within our educational system. So like to come up with a really cute, creative way like this, I'm just like all about it.
Which is a great point because that actually will take us to 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Where PBS drops Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Is it Where in the World or is it Where on Earth?
No, Where in the World. Where on Earth is the animated series.
Which one came first?
Where in the World.
Oh, fantastic.
Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, the game show. So, yeah, you want to do a little singing?
Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, that's by the Rockapellas,
yeah.
band from the show.
Love it.
Yeah,
I never forgot that song ever.
Yeah. No, me neither. So you're 100% right. Kids did not know geography. So what happened was there was a survey done by the National Geographic,
mm-hmm.
and apparently children just could not locate the Pacific Ocean or the USSR on a map.
Oh, my God.
And as a result, PBS decided, like, well, we need to fucking do something and teach these kids about geography. So
thank God, PBS.
They licensed from Broderbund Carmen Sandiego and mm-hmm. made a game show out of it. So did you ever see the game show?
I did. Yeah. I remember watching it growing up.
Yeah, me too. I wanted to be on it so badly.
Oh, I would have died to have been on it.
I gotta say, like, a lot of my friends love, like, showed, like, Family Double Dare, those game shows. So this is, like, you know, that show was actually, like, an inspiration here because it, you know, started this hype for family game shows. And what happened, you know, PBS decided to just, like, jump on that bandwagon, and that's how we got this show.
Thank God for PBS.
Yeah, it lasted 5 seasons.
It's impressive.
Won a total of 7 Daytime Emmys and 1 Peabody Award.
Oh.
And they almost, in total, recorded about 300 episodes.
Wow.
But a lot of them cannot be seen anymore because what happened was, between seasons 1 and 2, the USSR dissolved. So a lot of those episodes were outdated.
True.
And as a result, PBS just pulled them out of the rotation.
But it's important also to know that the USSR once existed. And
Yes.
That, so
but it's hard to teach
lens.
Geography with like old. It's like when you're in school looking at old maps and stuff,
and like
right?
It used to be Czechoslovakia, and that's completely mm-hmm, disbanded mm-hmm. and other things. So I get it.
Yeah, like science books with Pluto in it. as a planet.
Pluto's still a planet.
Obsolete. No,
I know it's not recognized it's as not, one.
You're like old school.
It's
you're not
part of the solar system model as we know it.
I still recognize Pluto in my life, in my solar system.
But no, that's precisely the point. So that's why they were taken out of the rotation and stuff. But okay. That also introduced us to a little bit more of the lore that would become Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
Really focusing on Acme, even though that was like always part of the game.
True.
Acme kind of became more of a central figure. And it also introduced the Chief.
Yes, and Acme is pretty much the detective agency that is trying to track down Carmen Sandiego. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. If you're someone who is hired to track down Carmen Sandiego, you've been hired through Acme and you report to the Chief.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Tell us all about the Chief because I love her.
So the Chief, her name was Lynn Thigpen. She's a Broadway actress, and her delivery is kind of what made, I guess, the show stand out.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do it right now. You have to find... I can't do it.
That was close.
You're going to find the Chief. Something like that. It just turns into 1940s.
Yeah, guy. You just go to the 1940s transatlantic accent.
That's not transatlantic.
It's pretty transatlantic.
Hello and welcome to Acme. I'm the Chief. We're in the business of tracking down thieves, and we're ultimately after one. Carmen Sandiego.
The show was fun. I've always wanted to be on this show. I don't know about you.
No, 100%. Other than the fact that I'm really competitive, mm-hmm. I love the geography element of it. I think geography is really important.
Hey man, I was always... So I knew geography was never my strong point. Mm-hmm. So this show terrified the shit out of me as much as I wanted to be on it.
Yeah.
There's no way I would have done well. I know.
Really?
Yeah, from the bottom of my heart. I would have been like, oh, I'd make a fool of myself. And always these kids were always like super smart.
Yeah.
It's just like, he won the spelling bee. She plays a clarinet and does basketball.
Yeah, no, you never saw a kid who was like, he dropped out of the drama club right? out of two meetings.
Exactly. So this
I thought it was really intriguing, though, that the way they set it up. I didn't watch too many, but they had one where, like, on the floor was a globe of the world, and it's like, you got to run to this part.
Yeah,
and
that's always the final round.
That's
exciting. How you try to catch Carmen Sandiego, and it's always fucking hard.
Oh, yeah, right? And your adrenaline's rushing.
You have, like, 30 seconds to try to place, like, 8 pins on a map, and you have to know exactly where these fucking countries and cities are.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
That's great. I'm all for it.
I am too. I mean, there should be more game shows like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking super, super hard. But yeah, this is our first iteration of Carmen Sandiego in TV. You know, we wanted to talk about it a little bit, but after the 5 seasons of this running,
mm-hmm.
It would get its own spinoff, which is Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
That only lasted 2 seasons. It was more futuristic. It had to do with history.
Yeah.
Now that one I actually enjoyed a lot more because history is
don't say more important.
No. I would say it's just as important as geography.
It is
the
yes.
only thing is I feel like history is a little easier to kind of comprehend because history doesn't change. How you
neither does geography for no, the most part.
Geography changed,
but okay, USSR became Russia, but like that's not overwhelming.
There's a lot of information on, I guess it's maybe the locations of maps and stuff. Yeah. I've just never been good at that.
I think geography also corresponds with history, where history is kind of just history. But then again, to understand history, you should know geography and where things like lie in the world.
I guess that's kind of true.
So they go hand in hand.
Fine. They go hand in hand. You're right. Is that what you wanted to hear?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
They're both great. We love them both.
So Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego had to do with time travel. She would go around stealing like important artifacts from different points in history. And
coolest woman ever.
That was a dope show.
So
I think it had a different host, but it had the same Chief. She came along.
You're most
ride.
Fun. I can't. Every time I can't.
So yeah. And but that only lasted 2 seasons. So it wasn't until 1994 where Carmen Sandiego would come back to TV, this time through Fox Kids. Mm-hmm. And it was Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to sing the song. Where is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah. The other one is so much better.
Oh, the rockapella band is good. I feel like the Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego felt a little more like dramatic and like over the top.
Yeah.
As our Carmen Sandiego would become because she was voiced by the one and only
Rita Moreno.
Yes.
Oh my God.
What a voice, man.
Seriously.
I didn't know this growing up. Only this now, I'm just like, oh, she's so good.
What? Yeah, voice acting is on point, as any other acting that Rita Moreno does.
A famous writer, F. Scott Fitzgerald, once said, "Show me a hero, and I'll write you a tragedy."
Meaning what, Carmen?
The tragedy here is Lee's lack of maturity kept him from being a great detective or a great thief. See you next crime, player. If you're up to it.
Carmen Sandiego in this version, she is an ex-ACME agent.
Yes.
Who apparently she started off as an orphan and they were taken in by ACME, and then she became an agent, youngest agent. Mm-hmm. Then she eventually decides, I need a challenge, and becomes a thief.
Yeah.
And now Player, who is like supposed to be us, kind of, sort of.
The quality of like you, because like before in the game show and in the video games, you were very much a part of it because you're playing the game and mm-hmm, the chief mm-hmm. was talking to you and the game show host was talking to you. And so now you're still kind of a part of it because the player, even in the first episode I saw, it was live action before it turned into cartoon.
Yeah, they always start off with like a live action sequence and then it turns into the game.
Yep.
Your player, you pick up, the player is playing as Ivy and Zach. Those are the two protagonists of the show who are trying to stop Carmen Sandiego. And
they're kids.
Yeah, they're like teenagers.
Yeah, which is like weird because Carmen Sandiego is a full grown woman in this iteration.
Yes.
And they're like, they come very close to stopping her almost every episode.
Because they're part of the junior ACME detective squad.
It's just still it's just
there's like high standards.
But Carmen, you're like better than that. Like, you can't let these 11 year olds stop you.
Carmen Sandiego's playing a game. This is all fun and games for her.
That's true. She's just letting these kids go around the world.
Yeah, she wants to. She loves to chase. That's what she's doing here. Mm. So did you ever watch the show growing up?
No, I only watched the original game show.
Okay,
and played the game.
Interesting. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, the chief from this game would actually show up every now and then on the actual games also.
Yeah, which was the 90s like reincarnate revival of it, right? Because I don't think I played the 1985 one. I think I played a 90s one with the chief in it.
Well, the 1985 one was remade after the chief was introduced.
Yeah.
So, and then they kept, you know, Carmen Sandiego was still alive, apparently. She was still popping. Teachers were using her in school. And as a result, like, they're just going to keep milking this. And you know what... I mean, you know why Carmen Sandiego was kind of put on TV, though, right?
A representation?
No. Representation of what? Female?
No, I was just making it.
When you look at television between the 80s and the 90s for kids, there's a huge difference. Do you want to take a guess as to what that could be?
80s and 90s?
Yeah, 80s kids television and 90s children's television programming.
I don't know. Is the 90s more educational?
It is more educational. There's a reason for that. In the 90s, the law came into... Huh?
Because Reagan era destroyed our youth.
Well, what happened was in the 90s, there was a Children's Television Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was in the 80s, if you saw out a TV show, all they were just commercials for toys, if you think about it.
Okay.
And it just put requirements in which television networks had to put a certain amount of content that was educational. So that's where a lot of these shows, like Carmen Sandiego, Hysteria, if you ever saw it. Hysteria? Oh, Hysteria was good. That teaches you history.
Okay.
Science Court.
Okay.
Robin Williams on ABC would have this little segment as Genie teaching you about like great figures in history.
Oh.
So there was a lot of programming that was really, really educational.
Was it Ghost Rider too?
Ghost Rider falls into that, even though that was PBS.
Mm.
But I love Ghost Rider. That was one of my favorite ones.
He's a ghost and he writes to us.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider.
It's such a shame. That's something that will never get remade.
No, never.
I don't think so.
It doesn't have a big enough and big enough following.
You'll have like a, it'll be like a very niche audience.
Yes.
But yeah. So anyway. But yeah. So that's how Carmen Sandiego came to be on TV. And Broderbund was actually very nervous in giving the rights to Fox because, you know, Fox at the time was known for the violence of X-Men and Power Rangers, which you talked about. So they were like really hesitant, but they were able to do a script that showed, like, no, we're going to use this to teach kids about geography. And
it works.
I think it works.
I
didn't realize it until watching it, but I mean, I guess I must have been like a dumb kid. Like, I just didn't pick up on necessarily the education part.
Maybe consciously.
Maybe. It's funny, right? Because at the same time while I was watching these shows, I was also watching shows like The Magic School Bus. And The Magic School Bus, absorbed a lot of the stuff that I would learn.
Yeah, me too.
I think this one was just like the action sequences were so cool and the animation was kind of, you know, that kind of Captain Planet-like look, right?
Yeah.
It felt very much more entertainment than it felt educational for me.
Well, let's look at the pilot of Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego.
Let's look at it.
Where it begins with Carmen stealing the eyes of a Van Gogh painting.
Yes.
And then they have to like deduce like art history.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, who's got the most famous smile? The Mona Lisa, Leonardo da Vinci. and just all the different places they go there. And I think in that one, they even go to Egypt for some reason.
They think the nose that she might be stealing is the nose of the from Sphinx? The Sphinx.
Okay.
Or based off of a clue. So they were wrong. Then they end up going back for, I forgot whose nose they stole. It was like a famous nose in the painting.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. See? Yeah. Not a good job in educating.
But putting that aside, all right, 1994, I at least was like six. And like, I'm assuming you might have seen this.
I must have been like, I guess what, how many? I'm 2 years older than you?
Yeah.
So yeah, I must have been like eight.
So where else would you have learned about Vincent van Gogh or the Mona Lisa? You know, things that like when you think about it, it's like I know these things. Or Egypt and stuff, and like knowing where on the map it is and like the differentiating between different countries and continents and whatnot. And like school didn't teach me.
What a controversial comment.
But if you think about
school system failed me, but you know what? PBS.
Yeah.
They saved me.
But you ever look at something and you're like, where did I learn this? How do I know this?
Yeah. A lot of it for me, truly, honestly, has been from the Magic School Bus.
Well.
I kid you not.
I mean, I'm not trying to say the reason why you know all those things is because of Carmen Sandiego. But I do think that those shows and growing up with that, and that's when television, especially for children, does do it right, is where you realize the effects growing up and like these things are just kind of instilled in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting like an education in art and in geography and in history. And it has an effect on you that, yeah, just kind of like it has staying power.
Mm-hmm.
Because also it's like there was do you know Marshall McLuhan?
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a theorist and a philosopher and he was very prominent in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
like a media philosopher.
Okay.
Did
we learn about this in grad school? Teachers are going to be so disappointed in me when they hear this episode.
His famous.
It should have been on a TV show.
Well, it's the medium is the message.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what
he was
known for
saying.
The medium is the message, right? Which is also something right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's not that you're not being taught geography. You're being taught through a television show as entertainment.
Yes,
that the medium is the message.
Right.
But he also said that, and I'm kind of like paraphrasing this whole theory of his, but he said the best way to teach anyone anything isn't a joke, because at the end of the joke nobody wants to be turned to and go, you get it?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in on the joke.
Yes.
Right? You want to be a cool kid, essentially. You want to be smart enough to have gotten the joke. You don't want it to be explained to you. And that's how people learn. They want to be informed with what everybody else is, because they want to be in on it. So when you present it in form of like a television show, like a cool like Carmen Sandiego, like, oh, you know about this. You know where France is. You know where Egypt is and Vincent van Gogh, right? Like, you get it, right? Like, it's almost a perfect way to, you almost got to do, reverse psychology sometimes, mm-hmm. to teach people things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when you're a kid and you see this, you know, you're not going to think about it every single day. Like, well, thanks Carmen Sandiego for teaching me about Vincent van Gogh.
Right, because
like,
you just saw a cool TV show where you almost caught, there's like flying cars and whatnot.
Yeah.
Jet skis.
So you're just like, cool, because it's like, whoa, inspectors and agents, mm-hmm. and like thieves.
Your gumshoes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so I think that they kind of took that where it's like, you almost got to like not let people know that you're educating them. And then they'll be educated.
Right. Watching it now, I can see it's like, oh, yeah. They really are like kind of teaching you a lesson. When I was watching it then, nope, I did not see that. I was just like, so, yeah, mind-boggling, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that stuck.
And it's almost, I do think like, I mean, I'm not going to attribute all of my learnings to it, but I do think some of it stuck or like contributed to the more you see something, the more it stays with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the way they pose it, it's like, what famous French painting is in the south of France? Where could that possibly be?
When I saw that, I got excited. I'm like, it's Mona Lisa, obviously. Yeah. You guys are so dumb. It's like so obvious, guys.
And it's got you even until your 30s.
And then you feel like you're solving that mystery.
Yeah, hell yeah. And you're going to catch Carmen Sandiego. You're mine today, Carmen.
And somehow, some way, a lot of these channels like Disney and Nickelodeon are using a lot of stuff that a lot of tactics that you would see on Carmen Sandiego, these shows from the 90s, they're still being used effectively nowadays, despite the fact that the government is not telling them they have to do it. They just aren't. They can't. The government doesn't have any jurisdiction on cable programming. So it's weird.
It is interesting.
Interesting, yeah. But
yeah.
Carmen Sandiego, part of this 1990s edutainment.
And so 90s, yeah.
It is so 90s.
And did you realize the voice of the chief in that one is Squidward?
No, I didn't realize that, but now that you pointed it out.
All I heard was Squidward the whole time. It was just because I grew up on SpongeBob too. So.
Huh, look at that.
Yeah.
SpongeBob, I wasn't a big fan of SpongeBob.
You were old by then.
Yes, but I feel like a lot of people my age love SpongeBob.
Because it's a great show. It was a great show for the first three seasons. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. 'Cause of Carmen Sandiego, in the 1990s, right?
Yeah.
Watching this now, did you think she was Hispanic? Or Latina in any way?
Not
which
at
way,
all.
Right? Yeah, not I don't think I would have gotten that even with Rita Moreno playing the voice. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that in the video game, she was always from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Yeah.
So she was always kind Latinx, at least.
Yeah, she wasn't Aryan, to say the least. Like, I at least knew that, like, I wouldn't say I felt a Latin vibe or anything from her, but I knew she wasn't.
From the 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that either. I always thought she was just a beautiful white woman.
Yeah.
Globetrotting as
maybe
all beautiful white
people do. Maybe Mediterranean or something, yeah.
Oh, you're really thinking about that. Yeah. Okay, I don't think
I... Well, because I know my geography. Thanks, Carmen Sandiego.
You got me there. but that all changed, I think, with the 2019.
Well, a lot changed with the 2019.
A lot did change, but I think that's the actual representation of Carmen Sandiego changed. And I think that was a big, I think a step forward, to be quite honest. So let's flash forward to 2019.
Is there a song?
Where in the world is... Yeah, they have a theme song.
It's not
San
memorable.
Diego. Oh, I love that song. So sexy, mysterious. No? Is it the word? Using the word sexy with the kids' TV show?
Is the new one a kids' TV show, though?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I think, technically speaking, yes, it is a kids' TV show. But there were parts of it that were like a little darker than I think I would
be. If so, I'm not. I don't applaud
that. I'm a little uncomfortable with, like, I think it's like it's rated TV Y7. I don't know where they got that rating from, because I think it should be the TV PG, maybe at most.
Although I think things are more inappropriate, like children are seeing highly inappropriate
things
at
younger
ages in this generation. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just like, fuck it, kids are going to watch it anyway. Yeah. It's Netflix,
maybe.
Which I don't approve of.
TV,
all right,
so I just wanted to preface this, which this is a big spoiler alert, because this show just came out this year.
Yeah.
In February. So yeah, so this came out fairly recent. So, yeah, but the show, you're right, it did have some dark things that happened in the show that I was just like, oh, this is like not really age appropriate. I think for me, it was in the final episode. There was like the scene where there was like a scene where one of her maternal figures is giving her a hug to kill her. It was like a really strong and violent hug. I was just like, this is not something I want my child to see.
Yeah.
I, as an adult, am here with the story. I love it. I'm watching this. It's a very enjoyable TV show.
Yeah, but this show was made for you, I think.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know. I will say this. They actually do try to teach geography when they can.
Sure. Well, let's back up a little bit and say how this show differs in the lore of Carmen Sandiego.
So let's go. What are some of the big changes?
Well, this one provides this whole backstory. Like, the first couple episodes are just the backstory of who is Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, Carmen Sandiego gets an origin story, which she's never really
had before. Yeah. Yeah. And she's an orphan girl. We're going to assume off the Argentine coast somewhere.
Argentinian, yes.
And she grew up on an island, an isolated island. And this time she wasn't raised by the people of Acme.
Right.
She was raised by the nemesis, the like evil organization, Vile.
Vile.
And great name. I really like that. And she was raised in Vile. It's like a secret academy for people who want to be thieves. But then it's like, actually, no, they're like villain. They're like super villains who want to take over the world. That's like the big secret. And she's known as Black Sheep there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like six people or five. Who run...
Five people
who run...
Because they vote to break ties.
Yeah. And all five of them run different aspects of this thief school. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the one who picked her and raised her. And then there's like this samurai guy who has it out for her. But whatever. So up until she's 20, you know, she's like, I want to be the best thief that there is. I don't have any family. I have nothing left to lose. This is what I was made for. You know, this is why I was brought here. And for many reasons, she doesn't pass. And they'll grant her to be a grand thief. And so she plots her own way out, and then she begins this whole chase around the world with relationship with Vile, trying to get her back, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right? I think I explained it.
Yeah, I mean, she actually, once she realized that Vile was kind of the bad guys, she decided then and there that she was going to no longer be a part of the group and kind of do everything in her power to stop them.
She decided to be chaotic neutral.
Yeah. Ooh, good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a... Is that right, Eddie? You're
I
like
got
more
the smiles
of
on their faces.
you're more expert here on alignments from Dungeons and Dragons.
I think we can say that maybe.
Okay. I think she's chaotic neutral for sure. Where it's like she's still a thief and she's still doing bad things, but she's doing it for herself and she's just causing chaos. And why not?
Okay.
But she also wants Vile to pay for their actions.
Wouldn't they technically though chaotic good?
I would say chaotic good more.
Yeah,
I feel
because she's a good person.
Yeah.
Does she? I didn't watch all of them. I did see the last one. Does she like form some sort of bond with Acme though?
Oh, that's a good question. No, so they were like This is where the show kind of threw me for a loop. I thought that's where the show was going to go, where she would become an Acme member. However, because of circumstances, Acme now thinks of her as an actual threat because they think that she's responsible for the assault on one of their agents.
Mm.
And I was, this again, a kids' TV show. I was just like, oh, this is like a plot that I would see like on like NCIS.
Yeah.
That's the only show I can think of for like really, really old people. They'd love that show.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing though of like the overcomplicatedness and it's now very common too to watch something like ever since Harry Potter, it's really common for you to like watch like a kid growing up in a school, a set academy to like learn a trade of something like witchcraft and in this case thievery. Yes. But it's kind of violent. And it's very almost kind of in moments sexually suggestive.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. And the relationship with that one guy who like found her on the train and then she's telling the backstory.
Oh, Graham.
Yeah.
Okay, the crackle.
Yes. And now granted, Carmen Sandiego is really just interested in herself at this point. Like it's still suggestive enough. Huh. So it's just like little things that I'm like, oh, I don't think that this is meant for children. Like I think this is meant for 90s nostalgia kids.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't find that as sexual. As actually there was a scene that Eddie pointed this out, Carmen had with Agent Argent. So that was the female partner for like the bad detective. He's just a kind of a shitty detective.
Oh my god, are you guys like trying to get me excited about her potentially being bisexual?
I feel like they kind of may have implied it. There was like there was like almost like a
first thing she does, hey, I'm Julia, and she says, oh hi Jules, gives her a nickname, changes her name, makes there a connection.
There was a very flirty tone with that, with their exchange, and I kind of Eddie pointed out, I was like, oh, I think you're right, because she constantly kept making a point. It's just like, oh, Crackle, he's like a brother to me. They never implied any romantic feelings.
True, true, true. Well, at least from her.
Yeah.
Oh well, now I love this show.
And again, we might be reading way more into it than like it deserves.
Maybe.
However, Netflix has been known to like kind of throw gay characters into their kids' programming.
Because it's important for children to see.
Yes. So, and
that I will say.
The one I'm thinking about right now is actually Voltron, where they actually confirmed the sexuality of one of the main characters that people suspected he might be gay, and Netflix finally took the plunge and just like, we're gonna make him a gay character.
Oh. And the Dragon Prince.
Oh, that's right, the Dragon Prince, another kids TV show that has
good for you, Netflix.
Yeah, so I'll say that much, like, you know, if Netflix is toying around with the idea of having Carmen Sandiego be at least bisexual, Netflix would be the one to do it.
Yeah, true.
So
or CW,
but this, you know, this isn't their target demo. Who plays Carmen Sandiego in this one?
Gina Rodriguez.
You can call me Carmen. Vile is stealing from all over the world.
Hola, Red. Where are we at, Claire? Sunny Ecuador.
With luck, I'll secure any valuable artifacts Vile might exploit by stealing them.
A very, very outspoken Hispanic
actress
and figure. She Netflix actually also has her signed on to do a live-action version of Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
That's like, I thought it was like actually just a rumor, but it's 100% confirmed Netflix is working on a live action.
I saw that. I did see that.
I don't know. So, you know how we talk about like, is this show for kids or is this for adults?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're going to handle the live action Carmen Sandiego, because I would love to see a more adult version of Carmen Sandiego. Give me sexy Gina Rodriguez being like.
Oh, you want like overt adultery, because like I think it's pretty like I think
like
I will
young
say
adult.
That right now this Carmen Sandiego is kind of like for any age, even though it doesn't seem like it's more for kids, but it's like it's,
you're giving
it's
me
general
mixed signals here, Nicole.
It's G. But it's like it's not, but that's the thing, like it's not just a kids show, you know that, like Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego was just a kids show, like adults don't really watch that,
right?
But this one, it seems like it's for all audiences, but I still think it's for an older, more mature audience.
Yeah, an audience that has grown up with Carmen Sandiego is just like, oh, where is Carmen Sandiego now? In 2019, what are we doing with her? And
where is that cunt? But I will say that I think that if they make it more overt with sexuality, like that's kind of, I don't need that, because what Netflix gave me, although sometimes I'm like, I don't want my kid watching this or any kid watching this.
Is it because of her outfits? Because I think sometimes she was wearing just like hideous outfits that were just like too,
they were not hideous.
They were too whorish, I thought.
I don't know why they drew those outfits. No, I. It's not that. I just think that that's as adult as I'd like to see Carmen Sandiego get. I don't need sex thrown in there. I mean, I'd like a sexuality maybe confirmed now, but other than that, I don't need to see her have sex. I don't to see really over
I'm not implying that I
want to
see Carmen Sandiego having sex. I just want it to be a little more mature.
So what did this Netflix thing lack that you want to see in a live action adaptation?
Maybe just a live action.
Live action. Period. I mean, all right,
But you said, do you want to see it more go adult more?
Well,
more violent.
Okay, it was very good. Like for animated, like the fight scenes, like that. I thought that were pretty cool.
They
did not hold back. I also think to go deeper into the emotional contents of the show, Carmen Sandiego grew up on this island. She had relationships with the adults here as parental figures, as well as her nannies. And also, I kind of saw that her nannies, even though you don't see their faces or you see the relationships, played a role in her wanting to explore the world.
Oh, yeah.
She had a different nanny. It looked like she had a different nanny like every year or so of her growing up. And they always kind of shared their culture with her. So she kind of learned of like the love of geography or love of like exploring the world.
Yeah.
Kind of like in that relationship. But what I missed from the show was that she was part of a group. They were like a group of six of them when they were studying that year.
Yeah.
They all kind of like build a relationship. There was like frenemies. There was like a big brother relationship. There was like camaraderie.
Big brother relationship, not a sexual relationship.
Yeah, you know, kind of big brother relationship.
Suggested.
She's going to be lesbian. I think they are going to. I think they're kind of watching.
Player is speaking.
Sorry. I think
you're right, player. Sorry, continue.
But to see that, to kind of see it develop, because she ends up kind of having betrayed all that.
Yeah.
And I think there should have been a more emotional kind of consequence to that.
True, but Carmen Sandiego is a loner, man. She does these things alone. Like, she has people who work for her, sure, but like, it's always just Carmen Sandiego.
That's not true. Even in the 90s TV show, she always had like her vile team. She always had henchmen.
She has henchmen for sure, but like, still, it's just Carmen. Like, she's solo. She doesn't need nobody. She's not like, it's Carmen Sandiego and the goons, you know? It's just Carmen Sandiego.
Carmen Sandiego's always had her goons.
But I'm saying that's not part of who, like, it's just her. You know what I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, she did all the action sequences, but it turns out Ivy can hold her own.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's the other thing I liked about this show. They brought back Ivy and Zach. I did not think they were going to come back for the show, and then here they are.
Yeah, but they work with her.
They're working with her.
Very heavy Boston accent.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I love it.
So I don't know where those accents came from. I don't think I've ever heard them really on animated TV shows, and I like it.
Just because you have people working...
They put my Boston accent, but shame.
Your non-existent Boston accent, Just because you have people working for you doesn't mean that you're still running the ship alone, though.
Yeah.
But so that's why. It's like Carmen's just Carmen.
So are you against her being highly dependent on Player, played by Wolf Finhart?
Well, no, because
Stranger Things.
She's always had that relationship. And the Where on Earth, it was just kind of like a tease. Like, oh, you'll get me maybe next time, Player.
Oh, yeah. I think next crime.
Yeah. It's but like in this one, it's kind of like that person. It's like in Spy, you know, with Melissa McCarthy, where it's like, oh, right. Yeah, spies have people in their ear watching them. Yeah.
Yes.
So that makes sense. But I didn't like this interpretation of Player because I felt less like, as a viewer, I was interjected into the world of Carmen Sandiego. And it's like, oh, no, it's just some like freckle-faced kid who doesn't leave his apartment and has no fucking adult supervision in his life.
Yeah, that's I will give you that. That's the one character that I think might have been the one that was kind of the biggest letdown.
Yeah.
Out of everybody. Because even Chase Devenu, like, he was a ridiculous detective.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about him that I liked. Probably because he was such a fuck up.
Or his outrageous, insulting French accent.
Or that. It could be that too. I just gravitate towards it. Player.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. He's the one who was kind of lacking the most development.
Yeah.
Because unlike in the 1990s version where, you know, in a way you're a player, this one, that's not that feeling. Player is his own character.
Right. Yeah.
I feel
personally attacked.
Okay. No. Yeah, I do feel personally attacked. I feel maybe not look at it that he lacks as a character, but he has the most mystery right now. Because there is three elements here. There's Vile, there is Acme, and there is the White Hats.
Okay, but here's the thing, right?
Who are the White Hats? They know they're hackers that want to do good.
That's true.
And that's all we know.
This is making this new version of Carmen Sandiego. The one thing I didn't like was it made too much of a narrative out of Carmen Sandiego. All the past Carmen Sandiegos that I'm used to, and I'm also used to playing the game, interjects either me into it by like making it straight up a game that I can play, or a game show that I could very well be a part of, or a player that changes from season to season that could be you.
Oh man, maybe but the this... live action version of Carmen Sandiego is going to be a game show version with Gina Rodriguez.
Ooh, that'd be so great. But that this didn't have any of that. Any participatory feeling that you as a viewer could have was completely removed, and now it's just a narrative that you're watching. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what Carmen Sandiego is.
Uh-huh.
And like, I get it that it's just trying to be its own thing, and I think it also because it's more for an adult, mature audience that they wanted to like go back and like tell it more serious and make it more violent and give more of a backstory to all of these things. But I think it's kind of like Wicked, like ever since Wicked came out, like the untold story of Elphaba. Like we're really into telling these stories where we go back and we re-examine people.
Okay.
And like, she's not a villain. In this one, she's an anti-hero.
She is, yes. This one is the definition of anti-hero.
Yeah. But me personally, I like the gimmicky thing where it's like, I am participating in Carmen Sandiego, and it's very much a game, and it's not a game anymore. It's just not. It's a story.
Yes, I agree with you. There's also another reason for that, though. There hasn't been a new Carmen Sandiego game in like out in almost a decade.
It doesn't matter, though.
More than that, because Broderbund went out of business and it went to, I think, like a learning company is who owned it. And they've been trying to make a game out of Carmen Sandiego for some time, but they've been failing at it. Well, so I don't know if it's necessarily there's not an interest there. It's just apparently just not a successful thing right now.
But it doesn't need a game to accommodate it. I think that that's how Carmen Sandiego exists. So whether or not there's an actual game, it's still the feeling of watching Carmen Sandiego in a television show where you can almost participate in it. It still has that feeling of a game.
I think you're right. I think the other problem with that is also it's a product of its time, where the 1990s version was a product of that edutainment.
Yeah.
This one is
a product of 2019.
Right. Well, obviously. But I think what you also got to come to terms is just like the way Netflix releases its stuff all in one chunk. There is this kind of format just lends itself to narrative storytelling in a way that other animated TV shows just could not. And that's why a lot more children's programming is going the route of doing that narrative storylines, where that just wasn't a thing back then.
I do think it's also very much a product of its time in 2019, where we're craving these stories. We go back, we set a more serious, violent, almost gritty tone to it, and then we make it more a little bit more adult than it has to. It goes back to Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Oh my God. You and
that I always bring up. And it's the trend right now, quite simply. So like from 20 years from now, when this trend is hopefully over, I can look back at Carmen Sandiego and be like, oh, you know, now I get it. It was a product of 2019. And then the next iteration of Carmen Sandiego in 20 years will be a product of Carmen Sandiego 2039.
So it's so interesting. I actually don't know if the show was, I don't know if it was, I don't know. It wasn't, I think it was light. I think it was fun. I think it was.
Compared to the other ones, though, did have a more adult tone to
it. I actually think the Carmen Sandiego from 94 through 99, that one felt a little more adult, to be honest. To be quite, and I think it was because Carmen Sandiego herself felt more like an adult.
Oh, well, she, like, her voice.
It could have been her voice, but it was also just her mannerisms, I think.
I suppose, but she was also very one-sided villainry, which is very also common of children things, where it's like you're either bad or you're good.
Well, she wasn't, though. She was, as
in
we saw.
In the 90s?
In the 90s one, she has a strict code of her villainy.
She does, you know, which is true, but she's still like very much like, no.
Carmen's she actually, well, not she helped you Acme defeat Professor Maelstrom. He was in the new one, right? He's one of the bad guys in the new one. He was also in the original, in the 1990 version.
Tim Curry.
He was played by Tim Curry. Yeah. And she helped Acme put him away because he was a bad, bad guy. And
yeah.
She's
true.
Just
like
he has
really
no code. I have a code.
But still, it's like, it's in the children's TV show, like the lines don't get as blurred as easily were in the more adult things, you know, where it's like Carmen Sandiego is a thief, but like she's an anti-hero and we really root for her. And there's all these complexities going on. Kids can't really handle that. That's confusing.
Well, I don't know. Now you might be just, I don't know. I feel like maybe kids are just ready to. Maybe kids are actually able to handle that.
I mean,
I
am completely against, like, no one is all bad and no one is all good.
Yeah.
Like, give me flawed characters for sure.
And I think this one did a good job of doing that because, here's a big spoiler, Shadow-san, I think that was his name.
Shadow-san, yeah.
He was the one who found her. He's the one who's trying to protect her and trying to get her to escape this life of crime, even though he's one of the master villains.
Yeah.
And that gives you all of a sudden a character that I did not see coming. I thought he was going to be the straight a bad, bad guy.
Yeah,
he
hated
he has a heart of gold.
Yeah.
He loves her. Like a father.
Yeah.
I guess that.
You did guess that. You called it from the beginning. So.
True. But I guess when there's only so much that a child, like when they're learning all this about geography and stuff, like I suppose like the cliche should stay that way just so the important stuff is being fed to them. So that's why this is like, this Carmen Sandiego isn't really a geography show. Yeah, she travels the world, but it's not like the circle, the focal point of it. Like it's more about like, who is Carmen Sandiego and Thieves and Vile and Acme and all this shit.
Well, I learned about the Magna Carta again. I actually have forgotten all about the Magna Carta.
Well, yeah, but you don't know shit about geography, so.
The Magna Carta is history. No, so I think this show tries to teach. I think,
it does.
Look, keep in mind, Netflix doesn't have to teach kids anything. They have the rights. This is true. They have the rights to Carmen Sandiego.
Uh-huh.
They could do whatever they want with her. They didn't have to make it edutainment.
But they did do whatever they wanted with it.
I think for the better, though.
Oh, okay. So that's, you really liked it.
I thought it was good.
Give me the game show any day of the week.
Oh, I mean, the game show is like superior to everything.
Yeah, and the actual game that I played in the 90s with the Chief. You've got to find Carmen Sandiego. That was a little better.
No, it wasn't.
Well, this was the 40s, guys. So.
You guys are both wrong. I'm gonna, you know what?
Why don't you do your Chief impersonation?
I have no Chief impersonation. I could do the
it's
host.
It's called trying.
The host had like kind of a nasally whiny voice.
Can I hear the host?
What year? What? No, I can't do it. I actually love a fact also that they're kind of alluding to the fact that she is Latinx.
Yeah,
that she is not this white globetrotter. That
yeah,
she
her
is,
skin is clearly darker.
Her skin is darker. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for it. And yeah. She might be lesbian.
Oh, I'm there for that.
Here's another fun fact that I actually forgot to mention. I wanted to mention it earlier, but yeah. Do you know how she got her coat? Remember how she Carmen Sandiego got her coat? Do you know who played that character?
And like the voice actor?
Uh-huh.
Who?
Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno?
Rita Moreno made a guest appearance playing Cookie, the accountant, who had the red coat. And it was like the way of like kind of passing down that torch.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
When I heard that voice too, I was just like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Well, you just mentioned Rita Moreno and my heart sings. So,
so I had to Google her. I'm just like, oh my God, she did. She made a cameo appearance for this and good for her.
Okay, I kind of like love this show.
Oh,
bisexual
yeah.
is Rita Moreno.
Well, I think, yeah, for sure. That happened in episode 2. Once that happened, I was just like, oh, I'm in for this. Netflix knows for sure their audience here. So I think
that's
100%
true.
Right.
Yeah.
Their audience, I mean, supposedly their audience was supposed to be children,
mm-hmm.
but they did mention it was children and their parents.
It's a family friendly
used
show.
To watch the show.
I see.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's for 90s nostalgia kids.
I agree with you. I think so.
Yeah.
And I think it did a good job.
Yeah.
It was... what's it called? Yeah, let's do a lightning round.
Lightning round.
Okay. So should we do player?
Yeah, let's do player.
What kind of iteration do you like of player best?
Well, I like the players from the 1991 game show.
Me too, because
so gonna be
I could have
done
that,
like
yeah,
yeah. Although if I had to actually talk about a real character, then I'm going to go with the player from Finn Wolfhard. Even though he wasn't really a well-developed character, he was still more of a character than player from the 1994 TV show.
Yeah, but that's why I liked, because it was kind of like this anonymous person. It was just like a kid playing a game where it wasn't like a kid who was wasting his life in front of a computer screen in the 2019 one.
He's fighting crime. You could hack for good.
Moving on. The Zach and Ivy?
Zach and Ivy.
94 or 2019?
Ooh. I think, all right. Let's do them separately. So I'll give you Ivy. I like the 1994 version,
mm-hmm.
right? She's a little more like stubborn. She's kind of, she's smart.
Yeah.
She's also, she's her own character.
Yeah.
Zach, I prefer... the new Zach.
Okay.
Yeah, he just feels more realized as a character than the teen, like the young kid.
Okay.
What about you?
Oh, sure, I'll go with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My deductive reasoning?
No opinions really on Zach and Ivy. But Carmen Sandiego time.
Carmen Sandiego's a hard one. I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, man. I like Carmen Sandiego best in the 1990s version of the game that I used to play on my computer, where I would never, ever catch that cunt. And I would just always, always play and try. That's
We're
like
going to get so much
word.
Hate mail for that.
I'm sorry. I'm a woman. I can say it.
Oh,
And I just always tried to get her, and it's just like, you never can. And that's like my experience with Carmen Sandiego. So because of that, she's very precious to me. You know, that's like my youth and all that, and the fun times that I had playing that game. But as a portrayal, I guess I would go with the Gina Rodriguez one just because of the bisexual lesbian thing that you threw at me.
We're reading it to, mind you. We're reading it to. This is not, we don't, I'm not going to say
it's not confirmed at all.
This is true.
It could just be a cute girl.
Pretty much.
Girl.
Just pander to me in that way and I'm there. So
I think I'm going to go with Gina Rodriguez too. I love the voice from
Rita Moreno.
Yeah, Rita Moreno's voice, Carmen Sandiego. It's very sultry, very almost like really dominant. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, she's trash talking you. Right?
Yeah.
But like, she's saying it so nicely and sweetly. The Gina Rodriguez voice, I think it fits this character. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like I actually didn't know how I was going to like a Carmen Sandiego that was a good guy. Yeah. But they did a really good job with this character and kind of her motivation. And as a result, yeah, Gina Rodriguez wins it. It makes me excited. Again, it just excites me to see like what she'll be like in a live action version. So that is it.
That's it.
That's all we wrote on Carmen Sandiego. But before we go,
so you know how we always tell you guys, hey, email us, shoot us a comment on Facebook, remakes, reboots, revivals @gmail.com, remakes, reboots, and revivals on Facebook. Well, someone finally did.
Don't say finally. We've gotten emails before.
For the second time.
So we want to read a comment that we got on our Facebook page from
a new listener.
A new listener. It's true. And we know it's a new listener because he's the comment.
Yeah.
Hey, first time listener. So a good point that was made was that Mowgli's exile from the jungle was tantamount to separation of the colors, with Mowgli representing non-whites. However, isn't it just as likely that Mowgli could represent whites in the same vein and the allegory support non-white superiority?
Okay, well, first-time listener. Mowgli represents whites. So he doesn't actually represent non-whites. That was, at least my argument, was not like non-whites. He represents whites. Mm-hmm. Whites coming in, saving the low breeds, doing their job,
the white
making
savior,
peace, the white savior,
despite
and then
the fact
bouncing.
That he's not white though.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he could be any color. He's among animals, just like a white man is among animals when he's around non-white men.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So, however, isn't it just as likely that Mowgli could represent whites in that same vein? He does. And the allegory support non-white superiority. To me, the reason why I think Shere Khan is truly the hero is because he does represent non-white superiority. He wanted that intruder, the person who thought he was better than everyone, to get out. But he killed Shere Khan. And it doesn't matter because colonialism was a thing and is still kind of a thing. And white supremacy is very real and dangerous.
I agree with you, Nicole. Actually, I'm wondering. I think Mowgli could represent, though, the non-white superiority, right? Because, mm-hmm. The animals exiled. No, well, he wasn't exiled. Oh, I don't know. He kind of self-exiles in the first version, the animated version, right? He leaves because, oh my God, vagina. And in the second one, he stays with the animals. So maybe there's no superiority. Maybe it's all about unity.
That's a nice bubble to live in.
So, yeah.
And now go home and watch the news.
Okay, well, fine. You got me there. All right, but thank you so much for leaving us that comment.
Yes.
As promised, if you leave us any good questions or comments, we'll read them on air. So where can people find us, Nicole?
Email us, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. Facebook us, remakes, reboots, and revivals. Instagram us, remakes, reboots, revivals. Don't get us on Twitter. We're not on there.
Yeah, we're not really. I mean, I try to update it whenever I can, but
yeah.
Twitter.
And then send us a review on iTunes. That would be appreciated.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Well, that's it.
Thank you for your comment.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope I answered your question.
Nicole, any more crimes to commit?
Not this time until we catch Carmen Sandiego. And that was somewhat almost there. At least I try. You make me never want to try again just because you're going to judge me.
I judge.
That is
I
not
just
supportive
I
environment.
I just judge. This is what I do. All right. Well then, until next crime, stay unoriginal.
Oh, that was cute.